Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. Praise be to God. Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just read it. Amen. See where the Lord wants me to go with you here tonight. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." Amen. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. He actually said, I'll make one who is suitable intellectually, morally, and physically. That's what God said. I'm going to make someone for my man who is suitable intellectually, morally, and physically. Amen? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. It says that the marriage bed is honorable in all. Honorable, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed is undefiled. Marriage is good for everybody who desires to be married. Amen? Nowhere in the Bible is anybody ordered to take a vow of celibacy. The Catholic Church would be doing much better today if they'd let their priest get married and get them out of, keep them out of all kinds of trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Celibacy in Scripture is not commanded. Amen? The Bible says he who finds a wife, in Proverbs 18:22, finds a good thing. Amen? So it could only be true that she who finds a husband finds a better thing. Well, an equally as good thing. Amen? Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? The reverse application should be apparent. If a wife is a good thing, and it gives you, and finding a wife gives you favor with God, a husband must also be a good thing and give favor with the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Especially if I'm your husband. Well, anyway, hallelujah. There's nothing better in all of God's good creation than a good marriage. Amen? Nothing worse than a bad one. Nothing worse in life than a bad marriage. Amen? I've had a bad one, and I have a good one. A good one's better. Amen? Hallelujah. Our home life dictates whether we experience heaven or hell on earth. Amen? A person who doesn't have peace at home doesn't have peace anywhere. No peace in the palace, no peace on the pavement. You know what I'm saying? No peace at home, no peace anywhere. Amen? Your heart just goes out to people who don't have peace at home. Amen? People who don't have peace in a marriage suffer. Even if you have a good marriage, which too many folks don't, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you tonight, enabling you to have an even better marriage, no matter how long you've been married. And some of you have been married, a long time. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Some of you folks got married, my mama was still carrying me, I think. Is that true? No, I was probably, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 50 years? Hallelujah. 50 years last November, is that correct? I get that right? Hallelujah. That's long, but it's not as long as you're going to go. You're going to go a whole lot longer, amen? Now, we're talking about miracles around here, amen? That went over my head, Maurice. The theme right around here is miracles in. And we want you to know, if you're listening to us by recording, that God can change even a miserable marriage into a miracle marriage. Amen? I heard a minister's wife say here recently, if you have trouble in your marriage, God didn't put you in that marriage. And then I heard that minister's wife, after she said that, I heard the minister himself sometime later say the same thing. If you have trouble in your marriage, God didn't put you in that marriage. And I thought, good Lord, did you ever hear of Mary and Joseph? Did you ever hear of the Virgin Mary and Joseph? Did you ever hear of Homer and Gomer and Hosea in the Bible? Have you ever read the book of Hosea? God had that man marry a prostitute. Amen? Did you ever hear Abraham and Sarah? The schemes they came up with to try to bring the Savior into the earth through their own flesh and the trouble that's still in the world today because of it? If you have trouble in your marriage, God didn't put you there? Not necessarily so. Go back and read it again. Amen? If you have trouble in your marriage, Listen, God can salvage a marriage the same way that He can salvage a single human soul. Amen? Hallelujah. There's hope for every marriage. Amen? Amen? What are we talking about tonight? I'm going to talk a little bit about marriage. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I haven't been married as long as you folks have been married, but I've been married almost 20 years. Amen? And I know that I've learned something in 20 years. You can learn something standing on the street corner for 20 years. You can learn what's a Dodge and what's a Buick and what's a Subaru. Just standing there, just making observations. You can learn just standing on the corner. Amen? I've learned a little something about marriage in 20 years. Amen? I've learned to have as much sense as Winnie the Pooh. Behave or there's no honeypot. Hallelujah. Anyway, if we'll look at God's marriage, our marriage through, you can say that. Amen? If we'll look at our marriages through God's eyes and be honest with ourselves, He'll help us every time. No matter how long you've been married, amen? Everybody needs to improve in their marriage. Everybody. Everybody needs to improve. It's an ongoing, I don't want to call it a battle, but it's an ongoing challenge, amen? And tonight, if we see a need to change somewhere and tell God that we're willing to make changes, He'll meet us every time. And God never gets mad at us. God doesn't get angry with His family. He's not like earthly dads, amen? Hallelujah. I just thought of something I can't say. If you're wondering why I'm laughing, praise the Lord, I'm not going to say it. Maybe it's your mate who needs to change. Probably it is your mate who needs to change, because certainly it can't be you. Amen? Whoever needs to change, amen? Even if you see some things as we talk tonight, we're just going to just hit a few points very quickly here tonight. If you see somewhere where your mate needs to change, show compassion. Have compassion. Pray for them. Ask the Lord to give them godly sorrow in that area. And He'll do it. He'll be faithful to do it. Barbara's done that to me. For me, I don't know how many times since we've been married for nearly 20 years. She learned early on. Don't bug Him. Go to God. Let God talk to Him. He hears from God. Amen. She learned early on. You aren't going to get anywhere with me on bacon double cheeseburgers. Don't even try. So she went to the Lord. And she asked the Lord to give me godly sorrow and to grant me the gift of repentance concerning those deadly bacon double cheeseburgers from Burger King. And God was faithful. He did it. I haven't had one of those in about 15 years, I think. Amen? He put the pressure on me about it. Amen? Spoke to me about it. Convicted me about it. Amen? And I changed in that area. I realized I want to live. I don't want to die. That's an unnecessary risk eating like that. I'm here to preach the gospel, and I'm going to stand before the beam of judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to give account if I leave this earth early, if I kill myself. Amen? By eating wrong. Anyway, my point is, if you see tonight somewhere your mate needs to change, you just ask God to grant them godly sorrow, show compassion to them, even if you've been denied compassion by them, and you'll reap a harvest of compassion. Amen? So, the Lord just gave me these steps real quick here that we're going to go through in order to have a better marriage than you even have right now, no matter how good your marriage is. Number one, see your marriage as God sees it. See your marriage through God's eyes. Amen? Marriage is the very first institution ever ordained of God. It is the most important institution ever ordained of God. Period. It's the first institution He ordained. He did it in the garden. And it's the most important institution He ever ordained. Amen? And ministers of the gospel need to understand that their marriage is more important than their ministry. Your marriage is more important than your ministry. And so many ministers of the gospel, they put their ministry first and their marriage second. And their families get involved in immorality and they backslide and they suffer tragedy because they're not putting the marriage and the family first. God puts the marriage and the family first. We put our marriage first and then the ministry second because that's how God does it. It's the most important institution ever ordained of God, first one ever ordained of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 6 through 9, I'll just read it. It says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Please say, leave and cleave.
Leave and cleave.
Say it again. Leave and cleave. That word cleave means glue, to adhere to. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and glue himself to his wife. Amen? Hallelujah. Now you know why I am the way I am. Hallelujah. Why I glue myself to you. Amen? Hallelujah. And the twain shall be one flesh. Paul said that's a mystery that we don't always understand. But nonetheless, it's true. The two become one flesh in God's eyes. They are no more two, but one flesh. And what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen? It's the most important institution of all. Amen? And no matter what you might be going through in your marriage, and I'm talking to people by recording as well right now. Amen? No matter what you might be going through, divorce is not your answer. Divorce is never the answer unless you're in a violent situation. Unless your life is being physically endangered, you're in a violent situation, and if you are in a violent situation, you can leave that marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. If you're in a violent situation, God doesn't want you to stay in that. But if you're not in a horribly violent, abusive situation, divorce isn't your answer. Amen? Divorce is just part of a further problem. Malachi chapter 2:16, God calls divorce putting away. Putting away one's garment. Putting away one's covering. And he said, I hate it. He hates it because it causes violence in the spirit, he said through the prophet Malachi. Amen? So if you're not in a violent, life-threatened situation, God wants you to stay in your marriage no matter what you might be going through. He's a God of miracles, and he can fix any broken marriage, even as he can fix any broken person. Amen? We need to understand first and foremost how important marriage is to God. We need to see it through God's eyes. It's his number one, numero uno. That's Spanish, is it? How do you say number one in French, Maurice? Numero un? Earn. It's his number one priority, and it must remain our number one priority. No matter what you might be going through, divorce isn't your answer, amen? Now, if you've been divorced, divorce is not the unforgivable sin. We're not saying that, amen? If you've been through a divorce, many people have been, so the thing was a flop. Just let it go and move on. But if you're in a marriage right now, God wants you to stay in that marriage. No matter what you're going through, he wants you to look towards him in it and use your faith. He's the God of the impossible. He can turn anything around. Now, maybe no one in this service tonight is considering divorce. Maybe some of you are considering murder. Murder is not your solution either, amen? But maybe you're not thinking of divorce. Maybe somebody listening to us on CD is thinking about going through a divorce. Listen, God is the God of the impossible. The Bible says all things are possible if only you believe. God can change your mate. God can change your heart. God can change you. And he can turn a miserable marriage into a miraculous marriage if only you will believe. Amen? Now, praise the Lord. I'll go on from this point when the Lord shows me I should. I'm going to say it again. We need to see our marriage the way God sees it. It is the most important institution he ever created. You get that? The most important of all. More important than any ministry office. Amen? Hallelujah. Did I have the tape on when I said what I heard a minister friend of mine say and his wife say? Was I recording when I said that? If you're in a marriage that's troubled, God didn't put you there. That man and his wife both said that. They didn't have the right to say that. There's no scripture for that. I thought, give me scripture. Give me scripture. Good Lord, people have problems. That's why we need Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. See, if you ever heard anybody say, if you get trouble in your marriage, God didn't put you in the marriage, that's not true. Ministers shouldn't stand up and say, stupid, dull and dumb things like that, because that gives people the impression that God's telling them they can get out of the marriage if he didn't put them in the marriage. Amen? Whatever you're going through, divorce is not your answer. Number two, you need to see your marriage the way Satan sees your marriage. See your marriage the way Satan sees your marriage. I'll read to you Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Hallelujah. Again I say unto you, Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Why do we want to see our marriage the way Satan sees our marriages? Christian marriage? Because Satan understands and he's intimidated by the power of agreement in a strong marriage. Jesus said, where two or more agree as touching anything on earth, it'll be done by the Father in heaven. There is no stronger prayer of agreement or power of agreement than there is within a Christian marriage. No stronger power of agreement than when a born-again man and a born-again woman come together in agreement in prayer. There is no stronger agreement in this earth. And the devil knows that. He knows the power of a praying couple. Amen? Satan also knows that a nation is only as strong as its families. So, the way to tear at the fabric of a nation is to tear at the fabric of the family. And the way to tear at the fabric of the family is to go after the husband and go after the wife. Satan knows that James 15 and 16 says, where there is bitter envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. He knows how important the institution of marriage is. He knows it's of utmost importance to God. It's the first institution created by God. It's the most important institution created by God. And he's out to ruin it. And he does it, number one, by bringing strife into the marriage. See your marriage the way Satan sees your marriage. He wants you in strife at all costs. He wants you bickering at all costs. He wants you at odds with one another, whatever it takes. He wants strife in your marriage. Amen? It's important to him. He does not want us strengthening one another. He wants us weakening one another. Because if he can weaken us, he can weaken our voice for God in the earth. If he can weaken us, he can weaken our nation. Amen? I'm going to say it again. The nation is only as strong as its families. Satan goes after the family. You know, Satan wants to destroy this nation above all nations because this nation is the gospel lighthouse of the world. Still today, 90% of all missionaries go into the world from the United States of America. Still today, 90% of all missionary financing, all missionary dollars, comes out of the United States of America. He wants to ruin this country. And he knows the only way to ruin a nation is to ruin the families, because a nation is only as strong as its families. A nation is only as strong as its marriages. Amen? Sorry to say that the divorce rate, I heard, has recently, amongst Christians, exceeded the world. It used to be 50-50. Now they say it's 51% Christians, 49% unbelievers divorced. 51% of all the divorced people in this country are Christian people. Because they don't see their marriage the way God sees it, and they don't see their marriage the way that Satan sees it. Amen? They don't understand that Satan's favorite tool is strife. And they involve themselves in it to the point where he just destroys their marriage. Amen? Get anything out of this? Number three, steps to a strong marriage, a miraculous marriage. Choose your friends very, 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 very carefully. Choose your friends very carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications, that word is actually associations. Be not deceived, evil associations corrupt good manners or corrupt moral habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil associations corrupt good moral habits. If you have certain friendships, no matter how long standing, who do not influence your marriage for good, you need to come away from them. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? You got that okay? If you have friendships, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil associations corrupt good manners. If you have certain friendships, no matter how long standing, who do not influence your marriage for good, God wants you to come away from them. That's what Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He's not saying be not deceived, evil associations corrupt good manners, but run with them anyway. He's telling you to come out from amongst them. Amen? If you have friends who don't see your marriage through God's eyes as the most important institution ever created by God, you need to drop them like a hot potato. Amen? Somebody said, but that's not love. It is love. Do you love your mate? Do you love God? Do you see your marriage the way God sees it? Do you see it the way Satan sees it? It is love. Amen? To obey God's word. Satan will try to use friends to be divisive and to destroy our marriages. Amen? I don't allow people to ever speak against Barbara to me. I do not permit it. And you don't get three strikes and you're out. Amen? I don't permit it. She doesn't permit people to criticize me to her. And none of us should ever. I'm not just talking as a minister. I'm talking as a man. None of us should ever allow anyone to criticize our mate for any reason. I tell them, stop. Stop now. Stop now. Don't say another word. Don't say another word. I don't allow it. Amen? It's not right. And I never criticize Barbara in front of other people. I won't do it. I might disagree with her about something in front of other people, but I will never speak a critical word against my wife to anybody for any reason, and I will not allow them to do it to her, to me, concerning her, to me. Amen? That's just wisdom. Amen? If we have friends and family who won't preserve and protect our marriages, who don't care to involve themselves in the protection and preservation of our marriage, we don't want them in our lives. We just don't want them in our lives. Doesn't matter how long they've been around. Amen? If they refuse to help us preserve and protect our marriage, they're goners. Amen? Somebody said, that's not love. I say, it is love. I love my wife. I love my God. I love His Word. I love my marriage. I love the most important institution ever created of God. And I live to protect it and preserve it. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. Thank you. Hallelujah, Maurice. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know, when people come to me, marriage people come to me, married people come for counseling, I never criticize one mate to the other. I won't do it. Because when they get back together, they're going to put me through hell if I do that for starters. Amen? They're going to remember that. It's just not wisdom in counseling someone within a marriage to ever speak against their mate. Don't ever do it, because they'll remember it when they come back together. They'll remember you as the dog. What a dog you were to speak against my man that way. Amen? So, hallelujah. And I would encourage you to never speak against your mate, no matter what you're going through, to anybody for any reason. Sharing something to get counsel with the pastor or whatever, or a trusted friend, is one thing. But just being critical of your mate, looking for somebody to side with you because you happen to be ticked off right now, that's not protecting and preserving your marriage. Amen? How are we doing? I'm just sharing what God put on my heart here tonight. Amen? Number four, welcome only godly influences into your home. Welcome only godly influences into your home. And that would include the telephone and the internet. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 and 18. If you want to put that in your notes, I'll read it to you. Welcome only godly influences into your home. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. The Lord said, come out from amongst worldly people, worldly things, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. When you look up unclean thing, it says touch not the demonic, physical, and moral uncleanness. Touch not anything demonic, nothing physical, or nothing morally unclean. Nothing physically unclean, nothing morally unclean. Amen? Listen, some television programs downgrade Christian morality. I shouldn't say some, most of them do. Most secular television programs downgrade everything you believe about moral issues in the Bible. And we have to be very careful what we take in. Amen? I'm not saying you shouldn't watch television. We watch television occasionally, not much. But we're highly selective when we do. If we want to watch something, we'll go get a children's movie and we'll watch that. If we want something for entertainment's sake. But you have to be careful entertaining yourself. That word entertain comes from two Greek words. One that means mind, and another that means neutral. To entertain ourselves with secular entertainment, the Bible says, is to put our minds in neutral. You don't need neutrality. Amen? You don't need to put your mind in neutral so that the devil can just pump you full of all kinds of unbelief, demonic influence, physical and moral uncleanness. Amen? Friends and family, activities, music, books, movies that compromise or even reject Jesus' teachings on morality. Grieve the Holy Spirit in your home and leave the door open to the devil. Amen? We're all adults in this room. You know what I'm talking about. Some things you can't look at. Some things you can't listen to. You really shouldn't even have secular music playing in the background all day. You should have gospel music playing in the background all day. Even the clean stuff. You don't even have to listen to country music to assure you. You don't have to stop. Let me just say it this way. Country music used to be known as the most immoral music that you could listen to. It's all about cheating. It's all about lying. It's all about fornicating. It's all about adultery. It glorifies adultery, fornication, cheating, lying, stealing. Amen? But it's not just country music anymore. If you listen closely at any of the popular secular music today, it's always about immorality. Somewhere hidden in there somehow, it's almost always about immoral love, fornication, sex, lying, glorifying sin. You can't have it on in the background. It affects your spirit. You need to have Christian music going in the background all the time. Amen? You know, there's no neutrality. Jesus said to Dr. Kenneth Hagin in one of the multiple visions that he had, when Jesus appeared to him, came down into his room and just sat down in the chair right next to Kenneth Hagin and talked to him. Jesus the man. He said, Kenneth, you aren't going to like this. You're not going to like this at all. But you need to understand something. Anybody who's not sold out to God 100%, anybody who's just... Imagine Jesus sitting right here and talking to you like this as I'm sitting in this chair. Sat right in the chair and talked to him. He's had visitations of Jesus up to 3 hours long where Jesus came and taught him the Bible. He said, one day he was leaving. He was getting ready to leave. I believe he had ministered to Brother Hagin for an hour and a half in his room. And he was getting ready to leave. And he said, Kenneth, let me tell you something as I go. You aren't going to like this either. Anyone who is not wholly sold out to God is wholly sold out to Satan. Anybody who's not wholly serving God is wholly serving Satan. What do you think of that? There's no neutrality. It's either all God or all the devil. That's tough for some minds to grasp, but that's what Jesus told Dr. Hagin. You're either serving me 100%. I say it this way. You've heard me say it before. Part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Amen? We need to watch what we take in. Amen? You just let the world pump there in that little radio in the background. So many guys to do it all the time. I had the radio going all the time. It was no wonder I was always thinking thoughts of cheating and lying, stealing and conniving. And do you hear what I'm saying? That stuff being pumped into your spirit, secular stuff being pumped in the spirit, that's being controlled by the devil. He controls the media entirely. And if you got the radio or the television, some people have the television going on in the background all day long. And that's all about sex. That's all about immorality. Everything is sex, 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 sex. They sex everything up, even to sell a can of beans. You got to look at cleavage today. Amen? You can't have that going on in the background. That's the devil trying to destroy your marriage. Amen? So I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God. Welcome only godly influences into your home. We won't have it going in the background. Amen? We got Christian stuff going all the time. Amen? We're just very careful. We're just very watchful. Amen? With, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Amen? You can't disobey the Bible and live a miracle marriage. Amen? So, we'll move on. We're all adults. You know what I'm talking about. You know what you can look at, what you can listen to, and you know what you can't look at and what you can't listen to if you want to walk a walk of faith, be pleasing to God, and have power in prayer. Step number 5, make church attendance the priority of priorities. Make church attendance the priority of priorities. People in this room, you got most of these things down. We'll come into some you might not have down, but so far, so good. But there's people listening to us by recording. Amen? You are some of the most faithful people I've ever known in my life. But some people don't understand that church attendance should be the priority of priority. Some people don't understand that their whole lives are to revolve around Sunday and Wednesday. That's the will of God. That our whole lives revolve around Sunday and Wednesday, or whenever your church holds services. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching." The Bible commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? Let me say it again. Church night, church morning, whatever it is, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, whatever night your church has church, Sunday morning, whenever your church has church, those 2 days, they're the most important days, not only of the week, but of your life. That's always how it's been with me since I've been born. Barbara as well, since I've been born again. Amen? It just, nothing gets in the way of church. That's all there is to it. Prospective employers, we've both told them. Applying for jobs earlier in marriage. Can't work Sunday? Can't work Wednesday. If you can't use us, we understand. Oh, no, 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 no. They always say, no, 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 we'll work with you. We like your qualifications. We like your work record. We always tell them right up front, whatever church is, we don't work those nights. We don't work Sunday morning. Never had a problem. It's amazing. People won't even give it a whirl. They won't even try. They just come and they say, I can't come Sunday anymore because my boss said I had to work. Well, did you try to tell them that you can't work? No, I wouldn't dare. I'd lose my job. Well, try them. Trust God. You're a believer. Amen. Trust God to give you favor with them. I'm talking about marriage, and we're talking about Wednesday and Sunday. We say Wednesday and Sunday because that's when we have church around here. Amen. They are the most important days of our lives. Amen. These are days that God has ordained. Amen? If something needs to be dropped from the calendar to make it possible, then something needs to be dropped from the calendar to make it possible. Amen? Somebody once said to me, well, you're the pastor. You should be in church all the time, but I don't believe we have to be. Well, that is contradicted by logic. There's another case of asininity gone to seed. I'm supposed to be here all the time, but you're not. What am I supposed to be here alone? Did God raise me up to teach myself? To preach to myself? To preach to Barbara? That's the pastor. God expects the pastor, they said, to be in church all the time, but not other people. Well, then why would he expect the pastor to be in church all the time? The pastor's about the people. The shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd's supposed to be at the barn, but the sheep don't have to show up at mealtime? Well, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Sunday and Wednesday, the most important days in any marriage, amen? If you're going to live for God, God's going to bless your marriage. Amen? Hallelujah. We're talking about church being the priority of priorities in a strong, godly marriage. Amen? Everything else in life should revolve around it and not the other way around. It is absolutely disheartening the way some people just don't get it. And they call themselves Christians. And they're just drifting around from church to church. 1 week they're in church, the next week they're out of church. 1 week they're here, another week they're there. Church tramps, somebody once called them. Amen? Christian a la mode. Thank you, Maurice. Amen? Hallelujah. This is a huge stumbling block to answered prayer in a strong marriage. Amen? The devil will eat your lunch if you don't make church a priority. Amen? And I'm talking a word church. I'm talking a living church, a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking church, amen? People who are submitting to pastors who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit in these last days need to get a new pastor, amen? I'll be so bold as to say, if you're listening to us by recording and your pastor doesn't believe in the new birth, he doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues, run for cover! Go find yourself another pastor. This is not the time to be sitting under an unbelieving pastor. Amen? Hallelujah. You've got to be in church and you've got to be in a spirit-filled church. The first banana to leave the bunch is the first banana to be peeled. How many times have you seen that in your Christian walk? You see people come to church and then they drop out of sight. Next thing you see them, the devil's beat them ragged. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not lecturing you. You guys do good in this area. Step number 6. Understand that all human beings crave respect. Understand that all human beings crave respect. We're talking about having a strong marriage. I'm talking to myself. Amen. I look around here. I'm the rookie when it comes to marriage. Me and Barbara. Amen. But I give you what the Lord gives me as the pastor. Nonetheless, Genesis 1, 26 through 27, I'll read it to you. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Human beings were created for dominion, not oppression. Amen. God didn't give me Barbara to dominate her. Amen. I'm to dominate in the earth, but I'm not to dominate my wife, and she's not to dominate me. Nobody wants to be dominated. Nobody wants to be oppressed. Amen. We're created in God's image. Amen. All people desire to feel like what they think and say matters. I can't believe the way some people speak to their mates in front of me. I mean, they do it in front of other people all the time. I'm just saying me. Use myself as an example. I cannot believe the way I've heard some men speak to their wives in front of me and some wives speak to their men in front of me. I can't believe it. To humiliate and degrade one another in public the way some people do. Born-again people. Spirit-filled people. It's just not acceptable. Amen? Hallelujah. People want to feel like they matter, especially to the one that they're married to. Amen? Well, glory be to God. God made us that way. Your mate was not created to be treated like a creep. Your mate was created to have dominion over creeps. Amen? In the earth. Satan, demon powers, and sickness, and disease, and poverty. Hallelujah. We can't expect our mates to take our advice about everything, but we can show respect to one another at all times, and we can always consult one another in the decision-making process. I never make decisions without consulting Barbara. Amen? And she doesn't make decisions without consulting me. And you better not ever do it either. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just teasing. Don't have to talk to her that way. She's not like that. Amen? I'll tell you another thing that I'm constantly doing with Barbara is constantly apologizing. Apologize all the time. Because I'm wrong all the time. Amen? Amen? Because I talk too much. Amen? Everybody talks too much, not just me. Amen? I try not to talk so much. The less talking you do, the less repenting you have to do. Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm apologizing all the time. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not going to leave it undone. If I'm wrong, I'm going to just say, no, I spoke to you wrongly. You please forgive me for that. That's wrong. And then I go on. And she does the same thing. Apologizes to me constantly. Amen? We're not compulsive apologizers. We're learning to live with our humanity. We're not perfect. Amen? And we like to just apologize when we speak to one another wrongly, when we're inconsiderate of one another. And then we go to the Father and we just say, Father, you forgive me for that. No, I was wrong. I plead the blood, and I leave it behind me now, and I'm going to go on. And the next time I have to do it, I do it again. I do it again. Amen? I'm learning to live with my humanity. Amen? I'm hoping and praying I'll get so tired of apologizing, I'll just start living right. Hallelujah. Seems to be working. Amen? Some folks deal sharply with their mates and never apologize, and that's dangerous. It creates a hardened heart. And it's a good way to keep your heart sensitive is to apologize whenever you're wrong immediately or as soon as you can. Sometimes you got to cool off first. Amen? But do it. Amen? Just do it when it needs to be done. And then drop it and let it go. That's what love would do. Amen? Just helping you any tonight? Number 7, finally, we need to focus on our mate's strengths and not our mate's weaknesses. These aren't all the answers concerning marriage, but they're what the Lord put on my heart. Amen? Let me just read to you. I just said to you, focus. I'm talking myself here tonight. Amen? I have to do this constantly. I have to constantly remind myself to focus on Barbara's strengths, not on her weaknesses, because there's so many of them. strengths, I mean, not weaknesses. Amen. And she does the same with me. Amen. It's a bit of a labor, but it has to be done. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 7. In the Message Bible. Here's what Paul said. This is the Message Bible. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. No matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. We're talking about focusing on our mates' strengths, not their weaknesses. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Oh, God, forgive me. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Oh, God, forgive Barbara. She doesn't do that. She does not do that. Amen. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, and love puts up with anything, trusts God always, and love always looks for the best. We're talking about focusing on our mate's strengths, not their weaknesses. Notice I'm not shouting tonight. Don't have to. Amen? This is enough right here to keep anybody under conviction. Amen? Love never looks back, and love keeps on going to the very end. Like the Energizer Bunny. Amen? God deliberately gave us mates who are strong when we are not, and vice versa. Did you hear that? God deliberately gives us mates who are strong when we are weak, and vice versa. Because God is a God of common sense. Amen? God knew we needed the kind of help our mate could offer us. Amen? I'm not ashamed of Barbara's God-given abilities, and I allow them always to be used to the benefit of our marriage. Amen? We all need to be that way. Let me put it to you more simply. Don't be a dummy. If your wife does something better than you do, let her do it. If your husband does something better than you do, just flat let him do it. God made it that way. Amen? Hallelujah. You believe that? If your wife is good with money, let her handle it. If your husband's good with money, let him handle it. And don't be domineering. Just utilize your gifts to the full advantage of your marriage. Amen? Whatever our gifts, whatever our mate's gifts are, if we quench them through pride or intimidation, we'll never see the full plan and purpose of God for our marriages. I refuse to quench Barbara through pride or intimidation in areas where she just does things better than I do. I refuse to not accept the fact that she's just more intelligent than I am in some areas. I need that. I need that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's areas in life that I'm stronger than her. Amen? You know, when the Bible says that the woman is the weaker, you folks, you're all older than me. I'm not talking down here. I'm talking up to you. Amen? I'm just telling you what the Lord put on my heart for tonight. Amen? When the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel, it's pound for pound, not brain for brain. Amen? Praise be to God. Barbara does things better than me. I just let her do them. And I try to learn from her in those areas. Amen? I'm not perfect. Amen? I can be a bit of a loser at times. At times I wonder how in the world she can live with me. We're just so different in some areas. We are just so different in so many different ways. Hallelujah. I'm so weak in areas where she is strong. And I'm strong in areas where she is weak. But God brought us together because that's the case. Because we need each other in those areas. Amen? Hallelujah. So whatever your mate's abilities are, offer them compliments in those areas continually. Amen? I do that with Barbara. I try to. I don't do it like I should, but I try to. I'm trying to get better at complimenting her. And I want to get better. How am I doing? Compliment me. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about kissing up now. and manipulate. And I'm talking about compliment and cooperate. Amen? Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 15:23. Our mates need encouraging, just like we need encouraging. Amen? Our mates need to be encouraged. Our mates need to be encouraged. After all, look who they married. Amen? Our mates need encouragement, just like we need encouragement. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, Barbara's first my sister in the Lord, and then she's my wife. And I have to remind myself of that continually as well. She's first my sister in the Lord, my friend, and then she's my wife. And she's not my possession. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm first her brother in the Lord, and her friend, and then I'm her husband. We don't own one another. Amen? Hallelujah. As hot iron or steel will sharpen a knife, our mate's irritating points are intended to sharpen our intellectual and spiritual lives. I'll say that again. As hot iron or steel sharpens a knife, our mate's irritating points are intended to sharpen our intellectual and spiritual life. While we're praying, godly sorrow to work in them. True enough. Amen. God uses our mates, appointing the Barbara because she's my mate. Amen. And same is true. God uses my irritating points to sharpen her while she's praying godly sorrow for me to change. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll do that, if you'll pray godly sorrow where your mate irritates you, they will come and they will repent if you believe. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And when your mate does come and repent, you should show them mercy, because you're going to need mercy the next time it's you. Amen. Hallelujah. So number one, see your marriage as God sees it. It's holy, and it's the first institution He created. Number two, see your marriage as Satan sees it. He's threatened by it, and he wants strife in that thing at all costs. Amen? Don't cooperate with him. Number three, choose only friends who bring out the best in you. This is so important. Amen? Choose only friends who bring out the best in you. Anybody who doesn't bring out the best in you is not your friend, saved or otherwise. Number four, welcome only godly influence into our homes. Number five, keep church attendance the priority of priorities. They're the most important days of our lives. Amen? Isn't there a soap opera called Days of Our Lives? Not about church, is it? It ought to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Number six, all human beings crave respect, and we need to remember that. Amen? We give respect, we receive respect. I want you to know I'm working on all of these. Amen? I'm doing pretty good on the church attendance thing. Hallelujah. Let me boast a little, because I'm falling short in the other six areas. Amen? All human beings crave respect. Give it and receive it. Number seven, we need to focus on our mates' strengths and not on their weaknesses, and pray godly sorrow where they need to change. Amen? Let's stand up. Could we? No, you know what? Don't stand up. Let me do this. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious, holy, written word. Father, I pray for those who listen to us by recording right now in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of strife from their marriages. I bind the spirit of hopelessness from their souls, from their marriages, and from their lives, Father. Lord, I impart the spirit of hope to them to believe, God, that they can make it, that their marriage can work, that they can have, that you can change a miserable marriage to a miracle marriage, Father, if only they will believe. I bind the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world from the marriages of all who listen by recording. Demonic principalities and powers, you cease and you desist from your maneuvers against these marriages. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask that you would move in their midst and work the miraculous, Father. Give that one's mate godly sorrow in Jesus' name. Help them to see their need to change, God. Help them to understand that Divorce is not their answer. Divorce is only perpetuating the problem. Divorce is not your answer. Forgiveness and love and mercy and the wisdom of God is your answer. In Jesus' strong name. Amen.